Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
All right, take your Bible, turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Lord willing, today we're going to close out our series on Psalm 23. Still lots to discover. As you find out, if you ever start studying the Bible seriously, you'll find out that there's really no bottom to the revelation. It'll just go as far as you can dig. You know, it just really, the Lord just keeps opening it up. Over and over and over again. So still lots of to discover. I hope that all of this has been a blessing to you. You can go back over the podcast, and now we're putting the message notes on the podcast there in the show notes thing as you pull it down on however you see the podcast. So I hope going through this will help you see Psalm 23 in a whole new light. I hope so. So now, let's read this psalm. This will be one last time that we read it together here during this series. So come on, stand up with me, will you? And let's just read this as a prayer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a good word right there, isn't it? Forever. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for this beautiful psalm, Lord. And more importantly, what it represents for David and for us. Your tender loving care, Lord, over our lives. And I just pray you'd help us to embrace all that's here by faith. Continue, Holy Spirit, to give us revelation. Continue to show us what we need to see. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, gang. Just a little side note before we get into what's today's part, the goodness and mercy part. If you want to do some deeper study, studying these scriptures all together, kind of some of them are good shepherd, bad shepherd passages. Psalm 23, obviously you can start there. Then Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah talks about the good shepherds, the bad shepherd, and how God himself is going to have to come down. Ezekiel 34, kind of the same idea of Jeremiah right there. And then Luke 15, that story, the famous part of Luke 15 is the prodigal son. But Jesus starts out that parable talking about a lost sheep and how the shepherd goes after the lost sheep. So that's all part of the mix. And there's many, many other scripture. And then you can get to the whole crux of all of it as it comes to a head in Jesus in John chapter 10, where Jesus says in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. And what he's saying in all of that, I'm the shepherd that's spoken of in Psalm 23. I'm the one that Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah prophesied would come. That's me. That's what Jesus is claiming right there, that he is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So if you'd like to do some deeper study, go read those chapters and start digging. You'll find some really, really good stuff. All right? So now, let's just kind of do a little bit of a quick review. All right? Just going to show you my pictures as we come through Psalm 23. Show it one more time, all right? All right? We're in the Judean desert, right? The Judean wilderness. Remember this picture right here? This is shepherd country. Navigating these hills. That's like life, right? Remember this. He leads me. He makes me lie down in green pastures and all the living in the green and living in the brown we talked about. Sometimes it's really good and lush. Sometimes the pasture is a little bit more scarce. But nonetheless, I have no lack because my shepherd knows where the good stuff is. All right? Now, he takes me beside the still waters. Remember the picture? That living water versus that stagnant water that we drink out of, those puddles that toxify us and pollute our lives. Ah, my favorite pick of the deal. He restores my soul. See the shepherd with the sheep? He restores my soul. He brings me back. He literally carries me back. Then paths of righteousness. Look at that path right there. Just that narrow little path. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake, right? The right path. And though I walk through that valley of the shadow, see that picture right there? The valley of the shadow of death. That dark valley right there. I don't have to fear any evil. Not afraid. Why am I not afraid? because you're with me, right? Your rod and your staff, they're going to take care of everything that comes after me. All right? And here's the picture. I wish I would have had this picture last week when I think I got it off your Facebook page, Angie. I think y'all sent me this. Look at this. That's me. That's the picture of me and Jesus right there. Holding off the wolves, fighting them back. I like that picture a lot. I put a post out on it this past week. All right, so now, you get all that. That's verses 1 through 4, just in picture form. So now, let's see what we got for today. So David shifts. He's doing a lot of sheep talk in the first four verses. He shifts, talking about his relationship with God and to this people talk in verse 5 through 6. So you got shepherd talk and sheep talk. You got green pastures and him leading me. Still waters, the rod and staff and pass and all the things we got to go through. That's all the sheep talk. Now we get into verses 5 and 6 today to close it out. And we're going to hear people talk. He's going to talk about a table. He's going to talk about drinking out of a cup. He's going to talk about going to a house. So we got people talk. And so the imagery shifts just a little bit in these last two verses. We go from the rocky hills of the Judean wilderness to a lavish celebration in the house of the Lord. And we shift from being a beloved sheep in the care of the good shepherd to an honored guest in the house of the Lord. All right. Now, this is also the progression of David's life. You kind of see this as part of his testimony right here. Isn't that the progression of his life? He's a shepherd out there on the hillside. And then next thing he knows, he's a king. Living there in the house of the Lord all the days, the rest of the days of his life, you know. It wasn't all easy, but it was all good. Right? So that just kind of think about that. Now think of putting the Jesus story. Your Jesus story. So what David has done in Psalm 23, he put his story into words. What would your story look like if you were to be able to put it into words? Your testimony. I'd recommend that you work on that. Try to get it down as concise as possible. Maybe you know how they talk to you in business school about getting your elevator speech together. Your testament, you know, that something you can say in 30 seconds to a minute to talk to somebody. Then maybe your 5-minute version, and then your cup of coffee version, and then we're going to need 3-day version. You know, we've got all them different versions of our testimony, different details that we need to minister to different people. But do like David. Let's take a cue from him. This is kind of his story. Work on your story with God. You got a God story? Yeah, we're still writing it, right? He's still writing. He's the author, and I found out he's also the finisher. He knows how my story's going to finish, too. All right. So let's work on that. So let's get into this, verse number 5. We've got three images that pop up in verse number 5. In verse 5, he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over." So we got three new images. We've got all the green pastures and all that we've accumulated in this journey. Now we got three more to cover today. We got a king's feast, we got anointed with oil, and we got an overflowing cup. Now all of these images, all of these symbols right here are in David's time, they were what a gracious host would give to somebody that they loved and respected as they come to their home. They provide the feast and they would anoint them with oil and they would give them that overflowing cup, so to speak. All right, so let's see what God has for us this morning. These are pictures of the goodness, the richness of God's grace and mercy over our lives. All right? So here's the big idea in the verse 5 and 6. David sees himself as the beloved of the Lord. Another place he calls himself the apple of God's eye. He sees himself as this person that God loves and cherishes deeply and wants to honor and to bless. That's what verse 5 and 6 is about. Now, my question to you is, do you see yourself like this? Or are you still underneath the weight of condemnation and feeling unworthy? I mean, how many of us feel unworthy? Well, yeah, get over it. You are unworthy. We are. That's part of the beauty of it, isn't it? That God has extended to us the kingdom of heaven. He's extended to us His blessing and His richness. He's given us that in spite of our unworthiness, in spite of our failures, in spite of our sin, in spite of our wandering. He's given us this lavish blessing in Christ. Our blessings. So how do you see yourself? Are you seeing yourself as a sinner who's struggling to get to heaven? Or you see yourself as a saint of God living in the house of the Lord? It's a big difference in how you're going to live your life now. Are you expecting yourself to sin? Well, guess what's going to manifest? Or are you expecting to be a saint? Are you seeing yourself as just a sinner? Or you see yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? There's a big difference in that. And yes, I know there are seasons and times where we need to be humbled. There's no doubt about that. Those come quite often. But there's also seasons where we need to understand we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Need to understand all that. So how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as the beloved of the Lord? Do you see yourself as somebody that God loves at least as much as He loves Jesus? Especially considering that He was willing to give His own Son for your life. He must love you just as much as He loves Jesus. And we know how He feels about Jesus. Think about it. If we had time, that just kind of needs to set on you for about 30 minutes, doesn't it? Do you see yourself like that? Because the new covenant is filled with language that, like this about you being the beloved of the Lord and the apple of God's eye. It's filled with language like that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. I'm an heir of God. I mean, I'm in the will, y'all. And if you're in Christ, you're in the will. You think about that. I know we think about in the will like being in obedience, but I'm like in the will. Like I'm written in the will of God. When God gets ready to divvy out the kingdom and all of His wealth and riches, my name's on the list. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? If you're in Christ, your name's on the list. We're heirs with Christ and joint heirs. Not just heirs, but we're joint heirs. That whatever Jesus gets, I get to be a part of that. That's pretty amazing to me. Especially when I look back over my life as compared to Jesus. That's the beauty of God's grace. Is that we're grafted into all this because of Christ. And we access it all by faith in Him. Peter says this, that we're partakers of the divine nature. Seated with Christ again in heavenly places. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. Do you see yourself like that? This is what David does in verse 5 through 6. He sees himself like that. So let's get to this first one. Our first image here is a king's feast. David says to the Lord, he's talking directly, You, Lord, have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. David's looking back, no doubt. Looking back over his life and remembering the many blessings that God has poured upon him. God has provided. Even though there's been opposition, David's life's not been easy. Now, David's life has been extremely difficult. When God anointed him as king, he became a marked man. Now, he's marked by God. That was the most important mark. But he also come on the enemy's radar too, didn't he? So there's a lot of opposition. David had a lot of enemies. A lot of powerful people in high places hated him. Saul, his daddy-in-law, for one, couldn't stand it. There were a lot of battles that he had, a lot of conflicts. And he said, in spite of all of it, in spite of all the people that were against me, you prepared a table before me. And I see David being real thankful here, God, through all of that. You ever look back on your life and seen through, we sing that old song, through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. It's one of my favorite lines in Amazing Grace. Right? You ever look back? Because see, faith teaches us to look back so that we can move forward. We look back in our story with God and see how He's provided for us. Got us through those difficult times. Got us through that season of sickness. Got us through that season of a broken relationship. Got us through that season of a transition and job loss or kid problems and all kinds of difficulties. We look back over that and you know what you'll find? If you're a follower of Jesus, you know what you'll find? That right in the middle of all that madness was a table for you to eat from. To take good care of you. That's what David's doing right here. It's a healthy thing for you to look back and think about that table. I think sometimes we got to look back to do it, though, because, you know, when you're in the middle of the fight, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to see. So you need to take some time to reflect back and just say, yeah, Lord, I thank you. When I was crazy back there in high school, you were still taking good care of me. You ever think like that? It's a good practice. It's a good idea. A king's feast. Now, did you notice the phrase, in the presence of my enemies? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I wonder if David is writing about that season or remembering about that season where he became like public enemy number one because of the jealous King Saul. I wonder if that's what he's thinking about. I wonder if he's thinking about all the battles with the Philistines and all the battles with the Amalekites. And even in the presence of his enemies, your enemies are not going away on this earth. They're always going to be present. But time and time again, David looks back. Time and time again, Ron looks back. Time and time again, I hope you look back and see over and over, God showed himself to be faithful. We sang that song, "All My Life, You Have Been Faithful." You know what I was saying over there? All my life you have been faithful. And I stopped. I said, even when I wasn't. Isn't that true about you too? He's been faithful to us. Even in the presence of conflict and difficulty. I kind of see it saying here, God is blessing and there is nothing that the enemy or my enemies can do about it. So I can't be bothered with the accuser. I can't listen to him. I don't want to talk. People talk to the devil all the time. We ain't on talking terms. He already ruined my life partially. God had to redeem it. I'm not talking to him. We're not on talking terms. Last thing I saw, my parents in the garden, Adam and Eve, they got to talking to the devil and got messed up. So we're not on talking terms. I'm not in here dealing with them. I'm dealing with the Lord and eating at his table, and he's going to fix it right in front of the accuser, right in front of all the haters. And he says, in the presence of my enemies, there's a table. Now, if possible, we want to be at peace with our enemies. He could be referring to the table of what's called Suha. It's a table of reconciliation. That if all possible with your enemy, even your enemies, be at peace with them. Scripture says, if it's possible with all people, be at peace with them. It's just not possible with some people because some people are impossible. You understand that? We do know about those kind of folks. Some of them we can too, but it's all right. We're going to keep going. I'm going to keep eating at the table. You know, if possible, be at peace. So we hope it will become a place of reconciliation and forgiveness so that we can move forward together. But if not possible, if it's not possible for my enemies to be at peace with me, I'm not getting up from the table. I'm still going to eat from God's table. You know what I'm talking about? I'm still going to enjoy the blessing of the Lord. My mind races to the prodigal son. You know, he got his ring back, he got the robe back, he got his sandals back, he got his dignity back, he got the blessing back, he got the party back, the joy back, he got his father back, he got his relationship back, he got his authority back. All that he got back. But his brother didn't like it, did he? His older brother didn't like it at all. And this is what the Lord told me when he restored my life and putting my life back together again. He told me this. I remember I was sitting in my truck when driving down the road, talking to him. How many of you talk to God when you drive down the road? If you see me driving and talking and ain't nobody in there, that's just because you can't see the one I'm talking to. There's somebody in there because we talk a lot in the car. That's kind of one of my sanctuaries, getting in that car. Just I got to go take a drive, you know. It's in my truck. And the Lord said, this is what that ring is right there. Lord said, I gave you your ring back. Don't let anybody take it from you. I thought that kind of strange until them ring thieves started coming. So what's the prodigal son going to do? What are you going to do when God restores your life? Well, you're going to live in his blessing. And we're not worthy of it, so we're not going to be high and mighty about it. But I'm not going to give up my ring because you're upset. We're not going to give up our place at the table because somebody's upset with us or they don't like us or they don't like the way we did that. And maybe some of that's justified. Maybe in our sin days we didn't do good. But I still don't have to get up from the table. Does that make sense to you? So are you going to listen to them or are you going to listen to him? Are you going to bow to their hate or are you going to feast on his love? And David said, I'm going to eat from this table while you're sitting there straight up staring at me. And it's not nana nana boo boo, you know, that kind of thing. Not nana nana nana. Not that kind of thing. It's just that my Lord has been so good to me. And he's blessed me. And I'm going to enjoy his blessing. Right? In the presence of my enemies. So this king's feast. Now look at this. Now my mind got to thinking about the table of blessing that Jesus has provided for us. And I went to Ephesians 1:3 in my mind. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, say this with me, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I got to thinking about how much He loves me and what He's prepared for me to feast on today and forever. For all those who love Him, He said, I've given every spiritual blessing. Now, all of it's not been manifested in my life, and I hadn't responded in faith properly to all of it, but it's all mine. In Christ, He's given us every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing is yours in Christ. I mean, we got forgiveness and salvation. Look at the list right there. We got mercy and grace. That's part of the table that's been set for us. We've been adopted into the family. I mean, I got a seat with my name on it. We've been accepted in the beloved. We've been redeemed from the curse. We can experience the love and joy and peace that Christ offers us. That's all sitting there on the table. Righteousness. Now, for the first time in my life, I can be right. I can live right. I can do right. I can say right. I can think right. Righteousness is part of the table that's spread out for me. Fellowship. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with His people. The kingdom, even, given as our inheritance. The kingdom of God is our inheritance. It's the Father's great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Help us, Lord, get our minds around that. And then New Jerusalem. And then there's 1,000 more. That's the table that's been set. All right, so we got a king's feast. Let's look at another image. He says, you anoint my head with oil. Now, the first thing I see right here is this ancient practice of hospitality. You know, they didn't have all the running water back in David's day like we do. They, you know, had to go to the well and do it and buckets and all that kind of thing. So they didn't necessarily shower and groom and things like what we did, like we do today, or what some of us do anyway. Some of y'all missed that. It's all right. So in that hot desert region, you'd walk and do your thing. You'd come to somebody's house at dinner time. You're invited to Abe's house. You come in there and one of the first things he does is he goes through this ritual of hospitality with you. And one of the things he'll do is he'll take some oil. He'll take, maybe it would be in a vial like this or something of that nature. And he would take it and he would pour it in his hands. And as a blessing to you and as a show of honor and respect, he'd take that oil that he's got in his hands and he would rub it in your hair. Just to refresh you. And probably to help his house smell a little bit better too, you know what I'm saying? It was this hospitality. Remember, there's a Jesus story like that. Remember where Jesus is honored like that by this woman who had the alabaster box. And in fact, Jesus said, I want everybody in the world to always know about this woman. Shall be a memorial to her. Everybody's going to know about her. She did just this. It was to honor. It was to love. It was an expression of friendship. So David is saying, God, you've anointed my head with oil. You've brought me not just into the family, Lord, but you've made me your friend. And I know we're supposed to honor God. That's a given. We're supposed to honor God. Hallowed be your name, Jesus said to pray and to live. We're supposed to honor God. But do you know that God wants to honor you? That He wants to bless your life? That's what David's talking about. Lord, you've honored my life. You've honored me. You've shown this that you want to be my friend. In fact, that's what Jesus was doing with the disciples. He was teaching them how to follow Him, how to listen, how to think like He thinks. And once they got to a certain level, He said, now I no longer call you just students of mine, but I call you my friends. Because see, a friend will express the thoughts and secrets of his heart to another friend. That's what God wants to do. He wants to build that kind of relationship with you. Well, we can be like Abraham, the friend of God. All right, so it was done for refreshing and cleansing. Here's another idea about the anointing with oil. Perhaps David was remembering the day that God anointed him to be king. Remember the story when Prophet Samuel came? All the brothers are there. David's not called to the feast or the party. And Samuel wouldn't anoint any of the boys. God said, no, it's not him. Went down the line. Six of them. He said, don't you have another? Is there another one? He said, oh, it's David out in the field. Samuel said, we're not sitting down until he comes. That's the one. Remember the story? I wonder if David's remembering that story when God anointed him to be king. The idea of that anointing. Now, that wasn't no little dab of do you on that kind of anointing. You know what they did? They put, you know, four quarts of oil in there, and they just poured it on you and it just rolled all over you. In fact, one psalm says it rolls down the beard and comes down through and drips off the garments. I mean, that's the serious anointing right here. Now, what's this anointing about? It's about being chosen, beloved of the Lord, honored by the Lord again, empowered, and authorized, walking in not just the authority of the office of king, but in the authority of God. That's what this anointing is about now. And when somebody is anointed by the Lord like this, they are marked with the king's blessing and marked with the king's authority. And everywhere they go, they've got the mark of the king on them. David said, "You anoint my head with oil." That's all good for David, but think about us right here. 1 John 20 or 2:20 says this. Talking to us as believers, you have an anointing from the Holy One. You, each and every one of us. What if you could say, just like David, "Lord, you have anointed my life. You have blessed my life. You have empowered me. You have given me authority. You have given me, you know, your blessing." Each one of us need to be able to say that. The New Testament speaks of us being anointed people of God. It speaks of us even being filled with the Spirit of God. Because this is this anointing oil that represents the Spirit of God upon our lives and marks us out for His kingdom. And beloved, do you know that God wants to anoint your life? He wants to anoint you with great power and great purpose to empower you to fulfill His calling on your life. And every single one of us have a calling. Every single one of us. Now, it may not be to sing. It may not be to preach. It might be to do something else. In fact, the guy in the Bible who is spoken of first about being filled with the Spirit, you know what he was? I mean, the very first guy, it's in the book of Exodus, the very first guy who was spoken of being filled in the Spirit, you know what he was? He was an artist. He was an artist who was going to be fashioning some of the furniture and tapestry of the tabernacle. And it says that God filled him with His Spirit so that he could do his craft. You think about that. Because we think about all just in what we would think of in religious terms. Somebody's anointed to speak, anointed to sing, anointed to play an instrument or something like that. And thank God for that. Those are true. But the guy that's spoken of first, he was just an ordinary guy who had a craft and a skill. And God said, "I want to anoint that man so that he can be better at what he does." How about that? So ladies and gentlemen, what if God could anoint you to do your job better? No matter what that job might be, working in the medical field or working on the construction site or taking care of the home or teaching in the class or whatever. What if God was to anoint you in some kind of way and you could say, "You have anointed me to teach these kids. You have anointed me to take care of this business and to take care of these customers. You've given me all of this and you've empowered me." I pray you'll be able to say that. And you'll know what it is to walk in that. Because that is the difference maker right there. Scripture says it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. It just breaks the yokes off of people's lives. You hear what I'm talking about? There's a lot right here now. This idea of being anointed by God, it means we're not alone. We're not on our own. Thank God for that. You're not on your own, mama, raising those babies. Let me say this, you don't have to be. God will help us do what we're supposed to do, whatever it is. Empower us. That's some pretty good news, isn't it? I want some of that, don't you? That ought to make you hungry now. All right, third image right here. We got an overflowing cup. So we got a king's feast. We got anointed with oil. And now we got this overflowing cup. You see it? This overflowing cup, this abundance. It's blessing. It's joy. It's overflowing. It's more than enough. David looks back over his life and he says, "God, you've blessed me far beyond what I deserve and even far beyond what I even need." Abundance. That's a good word, isn't it? I hear Jesus talking something about abundant life. We'll get to that in a minute. I hear that word. It's this overflowing cup. Not just enough, but more than enough. It's that symbol of joy, like wine in the Old Testament is always a symbol of joy when it's used by God. You know, it can be a symbol of corruption, sin as well. But God uses wine, and that's like a symbol of joy. He wants that cup full. He wants our joy full. Jesus said, "My joy I give to you, that your joy may be full." It's this idea of this overflowing cup right here. So we get some cup talk throughout the scripture from the prophets. It comes to the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, talking about the cup. And Jesus says this, "If at all possible, let this cup pass from me." What cup is he talking about? He's talking about that cup of wrath that the prophets had talked about that would soon get full. And Jesus was going to have to drink that cup of wrath. And you know why he drank that cup of wrath? So that you and I could drink the cup of blessing. He drank that cup of the wrath of God that was to come upon all the sinful mankind. So that you and I could drink from the overflowing cup of the blessing of God. That's a pretty good exchange right there. And the truth is, over all our lives, you're either going to have a cup of wrath or a cup of blessing. And you get to choose. Now you can let Jesus stand in for you in proxy, taking that cup of wrath, and you can get the cup of blessing. Or if you choose not to, you'll have to drink your own cup of wrath. You don't want that deal now. It's this overflowing cup. So back to what Jesus said, John 10:10. You know this by heart, right? The thief comes but to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. It's that overflowing cup again. I want to give you life and more life than you know what to do with. In fact, he talked about people that are giving and tithing and doing all those things. He said, I got a blessing that I want to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing upon you that you don't even have room enough to contain. It'll be an overflowing cup. All right. You got it. So what were three images? What were that? A king's feast, anointed with oil, and the overflowing cup. All right, let's wrap it up in verse number 6 right here. Say it with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Ah. So my expectation is not fear. My expectation is not wrath. It's not defeat. It's not bad stuff. It's not negative stuff. My expectation, because of the goodness of God, is that He will always see to it that His goodness and mercy prevails in my life. That's what David says. I want you to experience that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. The idea of follow me is the idea of overtake me. We're talking about on Wednesday nights, the glory of God. Show me your glory. And he said, I'll have my goodness pass for you, before you. This whole idea of goodness, we sing about it all the time. That's the primary characteristic of God, is that God is good. It's one of his primary characteristics. God is always good. So I can expect good. God's goodness is going to chase me down all the time. And you know, I found out God's goodness, he's chased me in some pretty dark places. He's so good to me that he's chased me into some bad places so that he could get good back to me again. Anybody know about that experience? Surely goodness and mercy. I expect and I believe for the goodness of God to come my way. And you say, Pastor, what if it's bad right now? I'm going through a bad time, a bad season. Well, I got a promise for that too. Romans 8:28 thing, you know? That we know that all things work together for good. All things may not be good, but when he gets through working it, it's going to be good. I just know that. I live in the goodness of God. I live with the expectation of the goodness of God. I live in the expectation of the mercy of God, the favor of God, his kindness, his loyal love. I live with the idea that he's going to be merciful to me, even to me. You live like that? And his mercy and his goodness are going to pursue me and chase me down. So that's faith, believing that. I didn't earn any of it. It's all by grace. It's all because of His goodness, not my goodness. It's all by grace, isn't it? It's all by grace. And beloved, Jesus died and rose again so you could experience the goodness and mercy of God every day. You get that? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. But there's never going to be a time from here on that I'm not with Him and He's not with me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will live in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life, now and forever. Isn't that good news? That's a covenant promise that He's made to me. All right. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's lots of stuff right there. Let's go through this one more time. Let's go through it kind of slow, and I'll add in some of the commentary as we go. Just reading through Psalm 23 again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't have any lack because Jesus will take care of me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Some days it's good green, thick grass. Some days it's scarce. But either way, He provides for me. And I have exactly what I need. And my shepherd knows where the good stuff is. And He leads me beside the still waters. I don't have to drink out of the polluted puddles of this world any longer. But I can drink from the living water where I can receive eternal life. My shepherd knows where the good water is. He restores my soul. He brings me back. He brings me back to Himself. He brings me back to the flock. He brings me back to the family. He brings me back to joy. He brings me back to sanity. He brings me back to peace. He brings me back to who I was created to be. He restores my soul. I'm about to get to preaching again on all this now. This is pretty good stuff. And He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He always leads me in the right way. Takes me to the right place so that I can do the right thing. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. When I go through those dark places in life, threatening places, down places, places I don't like, I will fear no evil because it has to come through You before it gets to me. You got it? You are with me. There's never a moment I'm without You now. We're in covenant together. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me because they're going to take care of everything that's coming after me. You prepare a table. Just talked about that. King's feast in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. You've chosen me. You've empowered me. You refresh me. You honor me. My cup runs over. It's overflowing. The blessing of the Lord is more than I have room to contain. That's why I don't have any problem sharing everything with you. I got plenty for me, and I got some left over. Blessing is overflowing in my life. And surely goodness and mercy. I look behind me. There it is. It's chasing me. I can't get away from it. He's so good to me. I can't get away from it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's come and He's made His house with me. Until that day comes, well, I'll stand in His presence in His house. And how long is this going to last? Forever and ever. Isn't that beautiful? Lord, help us. I thank You for this wonderful covenant. Thank You, Jesus, for being the good shepherd. Laying down Your life so that we could experience these blessings.
Lord, I pray you draw us closer to you. For those that have wandered away, Lord, I pray that revelation like this, Lord, would draw us back. I hear one scripture saying it's the goodness of God that draws us back to repentance, back in. Give us eyes to see, Lord. Lord, we hunger and we thirst for this. This kind of relationship, that's what we want. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen. 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 So last question. He's the good shepherd. Are you a good sheep?